Holy Spirit, we ask you to make your word personal to each one of us here this morning, that whatever we share from your word, that there's an understanding and a wisdom and a knowledge and an interpretation beyond the words we use to share your love and represent your kingdom. In your holy name, we pray. Amen. Well, Peter, can you bring up Ephesians 2, 19 through 22? It's hard to think of a title for this today, but to help you hang your hat on something, this could be integrity of the heart, it could be bodybuilding, in a different reference than what you're thinking right now. But if you'll bear with me, I want to do a little bit of reading this morning so that I don't waste a lot of time and get straight to the point. And it's a real honor and privilege to even stand up here and share his word. And I feel, I told someone this morning, I feel kind of like the guy with the dummy. You know, I'm the dummy. I'm just repeating what he has said. Nothing's original with me. It's all out of his word. So that's what this is all about. Ephesians says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been built," it's all about building this morning, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building," we're talking about building, "the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Okay, can we jump from that, Peter, to Ephesians 4, 14 through 16? Now, this is all about building. There's physical building, there's moral building, there's spiritual building. So all types of building. "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So we could end right there and be dismissed. If you can hang on and read those two verses later on, personally, on how that applies to you. I shared about a month ago, and the three questions I asked is, what are you building, what are you building on, and what are you building for? This is a third in a series that we will never be able to complete due to the exhaustive nature and revelation of God's word. The more we share God's word, the more we read his word, it expands our understanding and knowledge and intimacy of him and our relationship with him. So this can never be exhausted. If I'm determined, every time I speak from now till I die, it will be on building, bodybuilding, the body of Christ, because there's no end to it. It just goes on and on and on. So let's answer the first question. What are you building? 1 Corinthians 3, 8 and 9, you can put that up. It reads, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." In other words, where are we investing our life? How about Hebrews 3, 4 to 6, Peter? I should have given you these ahead of time, but I'm... For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Let's go to the second question. What are you building on? Response to the second question is, what is your foundation and what is it built on? Let's go to Scripture again. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. Now I want to back all this up with Scripture, and there's more content to this subject than we can ever touch. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Okay, response to the third question, what are you building for? Now, this is a personal question for each one of us. Can you identify our Father's specific call on your life? We have a responsibility to contend earnestly for the faith that has been handed down to us. That's out of Jude. That's out of Scripture. We are responsible for what's been handed down to us. I want to share a couple personal things that will help in understanding what I'm trying to share through God's Word this morning. A personal snapshot of who I am and my heritage is I'm from a family of builders. My very identity is that. My name, I've shared this before, is William Henry Malmsted III. William is defender and protector. Henry is kingdom. And my great-grandfather was a builder. My grandfather was a builder. My father, whose name was Ronald, was a builder. They skipped him, and then I got the name, William Henry III. And growing up, I had no exposure to building. My dad built, and I knew that, but I was never around it, never invited to be a part of that, never trained or taught that. It was far from me. And we came to a point in life where Shay and I and the kids, we moved out here to California, and I went to work immediately as a carpenter. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I borrowed a pair of nail bags, didn't have any. A friend gave me a hammer head, so I bought a handle for the hammer head. That's how I got started. And then every week, what little I would earn, I would purchase a tool every week to complement the skills I was learning and my toolbox that I needed. I was learning on the go. I was challenged, embarrassed, yelled at, teased, ridiculed, belittled, but that's construction. The standard phrase in the field was, if it was easy, your wife would be doing it. RJ? Huh? Is that? I'm on my own, huh? Anyway, building is messy. Building is expensive. Building requires oversight. Building requires a set of plans and a permit to build. Building requires a detailed schedule. Building requires a variety of disciplines and personalities to work together with the same goal in mind. That ain't easy. I have to show you, when I started in construction as a superintendent, this was the code. This is what I had to go by. This is what I had to attend to and follow. This is my Bible in the field. 1982 edition. 97, These aren't them. I just threw them away, actually. These were the 97 edition. It's changed. They keep adding. I don't know why. Revenue or what. They just keep adding regulations and restrictions, and it isn't built good enough, and add this and this and this and this. 2016. This is the code. This is what we have to abide by. Now, one thing I'm grateful for is the Word of God doesn't do that. The Word of God expands in and of itself within those pages. As He reveals Himself to us and makes Himself known, we go deeper and deeper into the relationship with Him, but it's not restrictive. It isn't regulations. It isn't laws. It isn't ordinances. It isn't more and more and more. But that's what the construction industry is all about. Now, I wanted to look at only two steps in construction, because there's more than I could share, and that's why I say I'll share this on and on and on and on, because it goes farther and deeper and wider and broader than what I could share today. But two basic steps in the natural and in the spiritual. So what I'm sharing today applies on both sides. So some of it will be the natural side of building, some of it will be the spiritual side. Okay, the first thing, you must have an approved set of plans from a governing authority. Second is a soils report is required, right, Gary? Yeah, pretty much. approved set of plans. The Word of God are our blueprints. That's all you need. It's an open book set of plans. That's all you need. Scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. On the job, you have to become familiar with the plans, and it is imperative that you read them every day. Every day, not once a week, not once in a while. When you're building, you're taking something that came out of a design, a vision, a drawing. You join together engineers of different mechanical, electrical, structural, the architectural, and you put this all together, and it's a learned skill. Some people, you can look at the plans and immediately see the building. Some can't so much. It's just not, it doesn't come off the page like the Word of God does for us. You're reading, and the Word of God just enlightens you, illuminates you. He reveals Himself. Well, in a set of blueprints, and the Bible is our blueprint, reading the plans is imperative every day. I've been on jobs that lasted 6 months, that have lasted 2 years, and over that same period, every day, I'm reading the plans several times during the day. I'm going through them. Because there's details, there's requirements that you look at it and you have to keep looking at it for it to get a hold of you. And you can go out in the field and you can be building and you can look at something and say, wait a minute, that's not per the plan. That's not going to work. That's not going to fly. That's not right. It was designed this way. I got to go back to the plan. What did the plan say? So that's our life in Christ, in the Word of God. Every day, it is imperative. If you don't, you're going to find out down the road, you're going to be missing something in your structure or in the foundation or something you did a shortcut around or just dismissed. Hey, I don't need that. It takes too much time. I don't want to go through the process. We can't do that. Another part is you need to follow a pattern. Exodus 25 says, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. According to all that I'm going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of its furniture, so you shall construct it. So a pattern. My first opportunity, I was working on a Vons market and we're building the canopy. And we're cutting these joists for the canopy, and they're 4x12s that are about 25 feet long. And we have to cut the end, a decorative cut on the end, and then like the bird seat, it's a cut on, so it sits on the top plate of the wall. It has to be exact. It can't be close, it has to be exact. So we scribe, we measure, we build a pattern out of a 2x12. When we set that on the 4x, we mark it, we cut it, boom, and then we start setting joists. Now, but we only use one pattern, right, Brian? You don't use that pattern to make another pattern, to make another pattern, to make another pattern, because you gradually drift away from the original. And by the time you get done, our joists are getting shorter or getting longer. It's not fitting. It doesn't look right? We're taking time. Take it down. Cut it again. Or throw that one down. Start all over. There's only one pattern. Our pattern is Jesus Christ and His Word. There is only one pattern to follow. Consider Westminster Abbey. It was designed by 19 different architects over 500 years, with families generationally connected to that building, and all adhered to the original intent of the project. Wow, that blows my mind, to have my sons and my grandsons and their sons and their sons' sons building the same structure that I started with. That's what the Word of God is in our responsibility to others. We have the responsibility, and it's been handed down to us to pass it on. We have a job, a mandate, and a personal responsibility, first to Christ, then to His church, to those who have built before us, and to those who will follow after us. Each one of us in this room has that responsibility, that calling of God on our life to represent Him, to build well, to follow the pattern, that we may pass it on. That's what life's all about, and it's in many spheres. To me, it's the building industry, because that's who I am. That's what I was called to be. So when I read Scripture and I see foundation, building, those kind of words, I immediately identify with my life every day. Okay, it's not much different for you. CPA, housewife, tech companies, teachers, musicians, whatever. It still applies. The building process is, what are you building? We're all building something. Another portion is the condition of the soil. You should come up and share on this, Gary. Civil engineer, this is his world. This is what he knows. This is what he's done his whole life, and he's done it well. Correct me if I get off the page here, okay? I wrote, you have to go down before you can come up. Before you build, you have to go down. Sounds counterintuitive. You have to build. So the foundation is sitting on, hopefully, bedrock, something solid, because it'll shift if it's not built right. There's cracks in the walls. All sorts of things happen. And houses slide down hills, and things happen. And so you have to start with it right. You have to dig down before you can go up. In the natural, you have to over-excavate the soil to a required depth below your new foundation. Say your foundation is 2 foot down. Okay, we're going down, say, 4 foot. We're going below the foundation where it's going to sit to build it back up. Then you rip the soil open at the bottom of your excavation. Now that you've dug down, you rip it open, you add water, and you process it, which means you'll put in heavy equipment to roll the bottom, add water, so that the native material is more cohesive. And then you test the soil. Am I getting close on this? Okay. Talk to me later. So you are processing that soil so you have a firm foundation to build on. You have to start there. If you mess up on that part, it's going to follow you the rest of the structure, the rest of the life of the structure. It's going to affect you. Spiritually, we could identify this part of the building project as the Holy Spirit processing us. This is critical for the rest of our lives. There's no shortcuts and no avoiding the effort to create a solid foundation. The results we are looking for, per the soils tech, is firm and unyielding soil. Pretty good, huh? You like that one? Okay, spiritually, I would refer to that as firm and unyielding soul. You have to start building right from the start. Okay, I'm going to share just a couple items with you relative to this in the natural and in the spiritual. You have to commit to the finish before you start. Luke 14, 28 reads like this. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish. That's embarrassing. You have to commit long term. When I signed up and accepted Christ, I was back in the day thinking, this is good, it's changing my life. I didn't see it as long term, though I knew it was. I felt like the day came and it was a revelation to me that this was my whole life, not just to fix me, bandage me, send me out and enjoy life. It was for the distance, going the distance and finishing strong. Philippians 3:12 reads, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that. I'm going to stop there. That. What is your that? Everybody has a that. That for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Why did Jesus Christ lay hold of you? For what? Everybody has a personal response to that representation of Christ getting a hold of your heart. He laid a hold of you for that. What is your that? You all have it. You all could write it down. You all could share it. There's a reason and a purpose for every day of your life. And we kind of take it for granted. We kind of forget about it. We just go through the routine at times. But what you are doing occupationally, family, recreationally, everything has that rubber stamp of that, that Jesus Christ called you personally for. If you don't know you're that, it'd be real easy to figure out. Just look at what you're doing, where you're devoting your time, attention, and resources, and how's that looking? How's that looking? Is it bearing fruit? Is it changing? Is it influencing? It should be. Another thing, in building, you're going to have to change along the way. Sorry, you can't stay who you are, the way you are. Your perspective, your attitude, it all has to change. I'm sorry. It wasn't my idea. I didn't write it. I didn't start it. And I won't finish it. It's him. You must build with others. You weren't designed to build alone. You weren't designed to build alone. You can't live life on your own. That's why this community of build, I mean, we kind of take it for granted. It's so rich, the relationships we have built over time with one another, having meals, events, tears, laughter, dinners, all sorts of things, just being together. That's the way God designed it. And the enemy would like to isolate us and get us off on our own and then just take us out of the picture. And it's fatal when that happens. So we need to build together. You can't build on your own. You must submit your work to another, to critique and inspect. So you think you're doing pretty good? You think life is great? You're kind of in the lane? Ask somebody. Open your heart. Be vulnerable. Somebody that knows you. How am I doing? Let me share this with you. What do you think of how I responded? Like Kevin, who is the number one bodybuilder, has shared up here, he constantly say, how'd you take that, Lord? Did I do okay? Go back and talk to Dudley again? Uh-oh. No. But what God thinks about what we do, we're going to be inspected. So men's groups, women's groups, gathering together, friendships, walking, all of that is building, and we know this, but it's building relationships that we count on, that renew us, that recalibrate us, that redirect us, that refocus us, that keep us in that narrow lane following Him when it's easier to get out of the lane by ourselves and do our own thing. It's fatal. There are no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to getting there. There will be injuries along the way. It happens. On the construction site, every week we have safety meetings. Every week. I've seen guys fall from buildings. I've seen them get electrocuted. I've seen them fall on the ground and have a heart attack. I've seen them cut fingers off. And it happens. We do everything that we know to do to keep it from happening. But it happens. The Christian life, there's injuries, there's hurts, there's difficulties, there's challenges in relationships. But we can't quit. We have to work through the toughness, the disagreement, the misunderstanding, the offense, the being left out, the hurtful words, the no invitation to the party, the whatever. There's injuries along the way, but we have to keep on going. When you think you're done, you're not. This is the hardest part. For me personally, build a shopping center, whatever it is, and then the architect who designed it comes out and walks the job with me, and I've got my legal pad, and he says, okay, Bill, I don't like that. That's the wrong color. That plaster doesn't look good. That light is crooked. Yeah, he's just picking the place apart. Jason, hello, that's your world. I know, you could preach on that. When you think you're done, you're not. There's details that are required and an expectation in a bar that the designer designed it this way, and he wants it this way, and he has every right to have it done his way. There's no shortcuts. And if it isn't quite up to par, you get to do it again at your time and your cost, and that hurts. So slow down, get it right the first time, and you'll be a whole lot happier, and so will the architect. It's critically important how you work every day. We get rushed, we push, we've got a time frame, we gotta get it done. I gotta shortcut it. I can't put on three coats of paint. Just get it going. The guy's right behind you, the electrician's on your tail. Get it going. You can't push through that stuff because you'll come back and readdress it and do it again. They say, if you didn't have time to do it once right, how are you going to have time to do it twice right? Do it right the first time. Building draws a crowd, and the crowd will usually critique and criticize your work. You've all heard of sidewalk superintendents. You got a project going on, and this is your life. You're living your life, you're raising your kids, you're doing the best you know how, and somebody comes along and has a better way that's more insightful, that's more helpful, sometimes not so. And that's where the challenge and the hurt and the offense comes, when people with grace are trying to be helpful but may overstep their bounds, may, for a variety of reasons. There's ones who speak into your life that address issues, that correct and adjust you. It stings, but it helps. Then there's some around you who make comments that are a little hurtful, And you got to deal with that. You got to work through that. There's a lot of people critiquing your lives. If she would only, if he would just, when's he gonna? Why doesn't she? I mean, we can't play those games with other people. To be employed by God, to be an encourager and a helper as they build their lives, you're building alongside them, it makes a difference. So don't critique one another, encourage one another. Not only are your tools and materials imperfect, so are your fellow builders. We are imperfect. We're not going to get it right. We're not going to do it right. We're not going to say it right. We're not going to pray it right. We're not going to sing it right. We're not going to share it right. We're just not going to get it done right. But if we have grace for each other in the process, and we know in a minute when there's grace and help and sincerity, then you can receive whatever's coming at you. Somebody that's close to you and they're sincere and there's a bond there, they can tell you the way it is. Personal family story. My daughter, Megan, our daughter, she was dating a guy back in the college days, and they would kind of group date and hang out and do things together. And I wasn't real thrilled about this guy. And I told Megan, look, I said, I'm your dad, but I don't pick your husband. But I have a say in who I think that might be. However, I'll walk you down the aisle at any rate. But I'm not real excited about this guy. I'm just telling you. I don't mean to be hurtful, but this is not the guy. And that hurt. Because she was investing her heart. And what, by the grace of God, a dear friend called Aaron Davenport at the time said, Megan, this is not the guy. And then Robin, another girlfriend, this is not the guy. She couldn't quite hear it from me. I was too close to the situation, but her girlfriends helped her. And by the grace of God, that departed and went another way. And I'll never, ever forget the depth of that relationship and the interest and concern to make a good, good friend uncomfortable by speaking the truth in love for their benefit. Aaron's not scoring points by telling Megan this is not the guy. Why would you start a catfight? Why would you do that? You know? But thank God, that's what it's about. Sincere, loving, and caring. Stick to the specifications and the drawings. The Word of God, our blueprints, our specs, you gotta stick with this. It's the only way to build anything of value. You gotta stick to this. You gotta go back and read it and look at it. And it'll adjust how you build and where you build and who you build with. It changes everything. Build with permanence in mind, yet be willing to tear it down and start over. Ouch. Ouch. Short personal story before we wrap it up here. First framing job I had with a couple friends, we did this doctor's house up in La Habra Heights. Nice basement. We stacked it up, and it was three stories. And the doctor would come up every day at lunchtime, because he was just down at the bottom of the hill, and he'd walk through and say, I said, we built it for the plan. It's right there. Well, you know, that wall, let's move it 2 feet. Ah, bruh, okay. So he goes back to work, rip it out. That's, you just built it that morning. Rip it out. We nailed the tar out of it. Huh, Jason? Rip it out. Start over. And you're grumbling and complaining. You frame it the next day at lunch. Is that where that window goes? Is that really? That's where it goes. Ah, I don't like it there. Rip it out. Hello, Joe. We went through the first couple of weeks once we got the framing going, and I was beside myself, and I was just over it. And finally, it dawned on me, it doesn't matter. I get paid every day for what I do. I don't care if we build a house five times. You know? He's paying for it. If he wants to change it, go ahead and change it. But we're building with permanence. I'm slamming 16s and burying them, and this thing ain't coming apart because this is going to stand. Then after lunch, rip it apart. That wasn't any fun. But it took me a while to back off and say, okay, it's his call. It's his building. It's his money. I'm just here to build it. Like I started with, the Word of God is so exhaustive in nature, and I can't go on. I mean, I've used up all the time, but there's so much. I mean, there's more content and examples in Scripture, first the natural, then the spiritual. You see it in everyday life. And all these steps and conditions of life in building the kingdom of God in your family, through your family, around your family, in your neighborhood, in your business, in your workplace, those you influence, at school, with students, with friends, da-da-da-da-da, it goes on and on and on. So the building is expressive of every place in life, every occupation, everything you do, everywhere. Tony, you want to come back up? Get me out of this? No, if you don't hear anything else today, Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4 on God building in us, if you just read those scriptures, it'll be so valuable, and God will illuminate, the Holy Spirit will expand His Word and show us personally things we hadn't considered before. Amen.